Speaking on this program is Brother Kevin Key.
In regard to the lesson tonight, I was asked just before services if I was going to be able to teach this individual and others patience. And in that, certainly patience is a virtue that all of us need to learn in our lives. And when we think about being patient, that goes from the time in which we are young until the time in which our life here upon the face of this earth transpires. As we think, though, in context as to the way in which it is presented here in Luke chapter 21 and verse 19, Jesus has instructed the disciples of that day that He was going to be going away, and in the context is that they were going to face all types of trials and tribulation. He also identifies in this immediate context of Luke chapter 21 is that they are going to be persecuted in ways that would be unimaginable to them because of their relationship with our Lord and Savior. But yet at the same time, what Jesus identifies to these individuals is that they are to have patience as they look for the salvation of their soul. When we think about the word patience, to begin with tonight, I want us to begin with trying to define what it is that is under consideration here in Luke chapter 21 and verse 19, but also in the broader context of the New Testament Scripture as it is frequently used by God to explain the type of people that He wants us to be. When we think about patience, it is oftentimes translated to bear up under trials without complaining. And when we think about the trials of life, these things are situations, they are circumstances that you and I go through in life because of sometimes our relationship with the Lord, but also sometimes just simply because of the fact that we are living here in this world, and that's a part of what life has to offer. And all the time, as you and I go through things in life, these events can indeed be very challenging, and if we're not careful, we can be caught up as the world sometimes is, and in fact, I'm going to say usually is, in complaining about what it is that we go through. In all of this, tonight I tell you that it is true that God wants us to bear our burdens gracefully. The Scripture says is that we are to do all things without complaining. We are not to grumble lest we are condemned for our grumbling. And therefore, we need to be very careful. We need to be very thoughtful, even whenever we're going through trials in life, whenever we're facing all of the different challenges, as to the way in which we look at those challenges, then in like figure, as to the way in which we will speak or the things that we will do during the times in which we are going through our trials. We are told that we will be hated for His name's sake, as the disciples of the first century were. We are also told that we're no different from the rest of the world in the fact that we will go through things, and therefore, you and I, as Christians, need to accept the burdens that we face and then also to go through them as gracefully as what we possibly can. That is indeed one way in which patience can be used and oftentimes is employed in our modern vernacular, in our language. But my friends, tonight I tell you that patience, as it is given in Luke chapter 21 and verse 19, has more to do with endurance than it does patiently going through things. It identifies that one must have strength, that one must be able to persevere in life in order for them to be able to have and to maintain a relationship with God, so that you and I, whenever we stand in the presence of our God, that heaven will be our eternal reward. Sometimes we hear people say, I need the patience of Job. And they are usually, in stating that, they're speaking with reference to the first definition that I gave, is that we are to bear up under the burdens that we go through and that we are to do that without complaining. But yet, at the same time, let me remind you, didn't Job complain about the things that he was going through? And Job is presented as an individual who was a man with integrity, had a great relationship with God, and that he maintained his integrity even whenever he was complaining. And therefore, I say that whenever we're going through things in life, God expects us to complain at least to some degree while trusting in Him, while at the same time, in all of this, maintaining our integrity, our relationship with Him, as well as shining continually as a light unto the lost and dying world. But let's take into consideration the second definition that I've given. Enduring. Isn't that what we find Job did during the trials that he went through? He was tempted, no doubt. He was challenged by the things that he was going through. But yet at the same time, he continued to rely upon God and he continued to trust upon God. And where he lacked in his faith, I'm going to say in the onset of the times in which he was challenged, in the multiple times and ways in which he was challenged, he grew until we read concerning him in Job chapter 42, where the scripture shows us is that God blessed the latter end of Job more than the beginning. I believe that not only do we find is that God blessed him physically because of where he was, I believe that God was blessing him spiritually because of the patience that this man had, of his endurance. Whenever we think about what God says to the disciples in Luke chapter 21 and verse 19, that they are to be patient, I want us to understand that is that they are to endure for their soul's sake, taking possession, the scripture says, of their soul, taking inventory of their soul, but also to take hold of their life and to make sure that they did not allow anyone or anything to take them away from their stand with God and their hope of being able to dwell eternally in heaven with our God. Tonight, with that understanding as to what patience means, meaning endurance, where are some areas that God wants you and me to be patient, where God wants us to endure? I believe to begin with, God wants us to be patient with ourselves. It has been said, and rightfully so, that Christianity is a process of growth and not merely an event. Now, let me explain. We become a Christian whenever we put Christ on in baptism. There is indeed an event that takes place. That's how we receive God's forgiveness. This is when we become a part of the Lord's church. And therefore, our spiritual life, our new birth, begins in baptism. But my friends, that's not what Christianity is really and truly all about. It's a part of it, but it's not what it's all about. Growing as a Christian is imperative, most important, in order for you and me to be able to stay in our relationship with God. In order for you and me to not fall subject to the things that we find the people in the world falling into, the trials and temptations that these people allow them to pull them and to keep them, hence even away from God. But not only in the world do we find that, you and I also find that even in the Lord's church. Especially whenever we're dealing with new converts, whenever people first become a Christian, they're still vulnerable to the challenges that they faced before. Not that we're all not, but they are more so. And in all of that, oftentimes we find is that they fall, and sometimes they even fall to the point of falling away. But yet, as you and I go forward in our relationship with God, the more time, if you would, in which we stand in Christ, and the more devotion that we have in our studies of God's Word, and we see the bigger picture as Christians, we come to understand that Christianity really and truly is a process of growth, and that the more that we grow, the more patient we will be with others, but then in like figure, the more that we will be able to endure no matter what it is that we face in this life. My friends, let me challenge each and every one of us in a very positive way tonight. And sometimes challenges aren't positive, but tonight I want this to be positive. Your soul is worth so much to God and to the church here. Is that never allow anyone or anything to say or to do anything to challenge your faith to the point to where you would pull away from God. Because whenever you do so, you would be guilty of what God warned the disciples of there in Luke chapter 21 and verse 19, where he encourages them to possess the soul and that the condemnation that would come about if they did not do so. So therefore, first off, we need to be patient with ourselves, enduring no matter what. But then second to this, I believe that it is important for us to realize that we need to be patient with our families. Patience, certainly, according to the way in which I first gave the description, but yet at the same time, enduring long with our families. You know, we live in an age today where divorce is an epidemic. One divorce right after another. I was speaking with Charlie and Wilma just before services tonight, and I told them, and they are, without any question, a beautiful couple. We have so many here at East End, beautiful couples. And what I mean by that is, yes, you're, guys, you're handsome. Ladies, you're pretty. But what I mean by that more so is that you have been together for many, many years. And as a preacher of the gospel, as an elder in the church, and as a brother in Christ, I tell you that you are beautiful to me and my wife as a beautiful example, as well as to this congregation. But the world's not like that. We live in a world today where that people are divorcing just left and right. Celebrities. I just read this morning where a lady that used to be a role model, Miley Cyrus, I think is her name, used to be a role model. She's no longer a role model. She married back last December and read today that they're already divorcing. My friends, Molly's just following the way of the world. People are divorcing. Why? Well, maybe in part it's because they don't know one another and truly love one another whenever they enter into the relationship. But then in like figure, sometimes we live in this world where we just throw everything away. And don't get me wrong, I like the convenience of you go and you get you something at the restaurant. You know, it's in throwaway stuff and you can just discard it. That's okay whenever it comes to trash, but our marriages, our relationships, our homes, they're of great value to God. Not to be easily discarded, not to be trashed. And therefore, we need to be patient whenever it comes to our spouses, husbands and wives with one another, and also whenever it comes to our children, raising our children, making sure that we are living an exemplary life before them as an individual and as a couple. But then in like figure that we're doing everything that we can to raise them, to rear them with God. That requires patience. That requires endurance, does it not? Because it's nothing that happens just overnight. It's something that we spend, that we invest in every single day of our lives, every opportunity that God gives us. But then there's the third area, too, that we need to be patient in and enduring. And what is that? It is in soul winning. Whenever I think about soul winning, my mind goes back to the days of Noah. And you might say, why in the days of Noah? The scripture says in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5 is that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. You take this back to Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8, says that Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord. He was different than anyone else during his generation, his age. And therefore, we know that this is in part why God chose him, selected him, commanded him, in fact, even to build the ark, and that he was going to destroy the earth. But what did God do with Noah to begin with? Go back to what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. He was a preacher of righteousness, preaching for somewhere around 120 years. Can you imagine how patient this shows God, that 120-year cycle? But my friends, also, how patient Noah must have been. In the time in which he was building the ark, no doubt he would have been worn out. In the time trying to provide for his family, must have worn him out. And then on top of all that, preaching and teaching to the lost of that world way back then. Today, we live in an age where that times have changed drastically. People are busy with their lives. People are preoccupied with everything else that's going on, with their families and with all of their extracurricular activities that we like to get involved in. And therefore, God is pushed on the back burner, if He's even on a burner at all. And for that reason, hence, a lot of times, here's what happens. A lot of times, we give up. We say, well, evangelism doesn't work anymore. Whenever it comes to knocking on doors, there's no benefit in knocking on doors. We'll just go out and we'll do whatever we want to do, and we'll reach them through radio if they want to turn it on. We'll reach them through television. Don't get me wrong. Those are all excellent means. Those are great avenues for us to be able to get God's Word out, and we are using those, and I think that we need to keep using them. But you and I are going to be the best soul winners that God has. And what I mean by that is personal evangelism. We call it personal evangelism because it's supposed to be a personal thing. We call it personal because every person who's a member of the Lord's church needs to be personally involved in this personal evangelism. And whenever we are, then my friends, I believe that God will bring forth growth. But let me say this. We need to endure with this. We need to understand is that it doesn't happen overnight. That old adage, Rome wasn't built in a day, but Rome was finally built. And the same is true whenever it comes to the church. Reaching out continually and asserted efforts on an ongoing basis, never giving up, and allowing God to bring forth the increase in the efforts of which we are putting ourselves forth. But then there's a fourth thing that I want us to think about tonight as we will bring this lesson even to a close, and that is we need to be patient or enduring whenever we are waiting on Jesus. I stand before you tonight 100% convicted, 100% convinced to tell you that not only do I believe in Jesus Christ and that He is the Son of God and that He died on Calvary's cross and that He rose again, I stand in your presence tonight to tell you with great conviction that our Lord is coming back. And because Jesus is coming back, because He's not dead in a grave and the body's not decayed as what others, He was resurrected by the power of God. Because of all this, and because of the promise that God affirms in the Bible, I know that He's coming back again. My friends, knowing that will either scare you to death or bring you great joy. If you're erring in your ways, if you're a lost alien sinner, you ought to be scared to death in that. If you're an erring member of the church, you ought to be thinking to yourself, I need to get things right before it's too late. But on the other hand, if you're a faithful member and you're doing everything that you can to live for God, to glorify Him, realizing that none of us are perfect, but still you're striving to walk in the light as He is in the light, to maintain fellowship, you realize, as I do, is that the blood of Christ continues to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and therefore we wait. We wait eagerly, anticipating the return of our Lord and Savior in that great and glorious day. But you know, we're only one day away from falling away from God if we allow ourselves to do so. And for that reason, we need to run faithful before God. We need to run as Christians with endurance, patience, realizing that only if we are faithful unto the very end is that heaven will be our eternal reward. Patience. It's taught, and it's something we learn in time. But patience, whenever it applies to endurance, is also something that is taught, and it's something that we embrace every single day and we become better at. I believe as time goes forward, and the greater that we love our Lord, and the greater that our commitment is to Him. If you're here tonight and you're outside of Christ, my friends, don't leave here in a lost state. If you're here and you would like to study, we'd love to be able to study with you. If you're here and you're dealing with things and you say, Kevin, I'm a member of the church and I just want to sit down and I want to talk. I've got some things running through my mind. We'll do that as well. But if you're here tonight and you say, you know, I need to be restored. Or you're here tonight and you say, I need to be baptized. We want you to respond to the invitation. We want to encourage you to respond to the invitation. And we will love you. We will help you with whatever need that you possibly have. If you're here and want to respond tonight, please come.